This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Unemployment around the world. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The unemployment rate in the U.S. is currently at a hair over 11%. But what about globally? The fates of the U.S. and world economies are linked, and we have a picture of what things look like overall in a new report. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has the details.
The report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which serves 36 countries, finds that the pandemic is causing joblessness in the world's biggest economies to rise 10 times faster than during the Great Recession. In fact, the OECD predicts that by the end of the year, unemployment rates will be at their highest levels since the Great Depression. The group is warning governments to maintain emergency aid measures that support job retention. The World Body sounded a similar alarm last month, but now says employment won't recover to pre-pandemic levels until 2022 at the earliest. That's a year later than previously forecast. A second wave of shutdowns could make the job picture even worse, and the OECD says women, young people, contract workers, and low-income workers are hardest hit. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Now, as bad as the pandemic job losses have been, 31 million Americans on unemployment rolls, it could actually have been worse. Some companies have managed to cut their labor costs to save money without resorting to permanent layoffs, at least so far. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on how they did it.
In a recent survey of HR managers, outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas found that one in three companies cut employee pay in response to the pandemic, and
of that group, 55% reported that cuts allowed them to avoid layoffs.
Senior VP Andy Challenger says the thinking is,
we'll have our team intact. It won't hurt morale so bad by letting people go.
Even when companies do reduce payroll, some are trying to retain ties to their workers. Among S&P 500 companies that have cut staff, three-quarters have done it through temporary furloughs rather than permanent layoffs, says Ganesh Rajapan at analytics firm MyLogic.
I believe it was done to retain talent.
He says among companies that did furloughs or hiring freezes, about a quarter also reduced pay for top executives, though some of those cuts have since been restored. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1 to 0.2% range, with the Dow future down 34 points.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Rehab programs for drug and alcohol addiction in some cases put clients to work as part of their rehabilitation. An investigation by Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting shows these workers often don't get paid and are sometimes put in dangerous situations. The authors argue these arrangements are illegal. Laura Starcheski, a senior editor for Reveal, who reported on the story, says her team identified at least 300 rehab facilities in 44 states that require unpaid labor from participants. She estimates at least 60,000 people per year have gone through these programs in recent years. She joins us. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you start by just describing the arrangements at these rehab centers?
Sure. Well, typically people walk through the doors of these facilities expecting addiction treatment, and instead they are sent to work for no pay or for pennies on the dollar, either at businesses that the rehab owns or at private companies and sometimes large corporations like Shell, Walmart, Tyson Foods, Williams-Sonoma. What tends to happen is that people give months and years of their life to programs like this, but they don't get the actual treatment that they need. And they're left with psychological scars or physical scars. And then they have to, in the good cases, find their own way into recovery.
The conditions at these jobs, can you describe them?
I mean, we found rehab participants picking cotton and pecans at a farm in Georgia and building luxury high-rises, doing construction in the San Francisco Bay Area. We heard many examples of rehab participants being sent out to do work that they were not adequately trained for, dangerous work like climbing oil rigging in Louisiana or doing electrical work without adequate training. And we heard about injuries and even deaths on these job sites.
Are these programs voluntary? I mean, could, if someone feels like they're being taken advantage of, could they just walk away?
About a third of the programs that we looked at accept people who are court ordered. So that would mean they're ordered to complete a rehab program like this in lieu of jail or prison time. So in my mind, that's not exactly a voluntary situation.
So the argument for these programs is that these folks participating would not be employable otherwise. They're offered room and board for free, maybe offered counseling. I mean, does that count as payment?
It doesn't. The Fair Labor Standards Act is pretty clear on this, that even if someone is getting some kind of treatment and room and board in exchange for their work, they still need to be paid a minimum wage.
If that is the case, how are they still doing this?
Well, we found that the majority of programs are not licensed or regulated. State regulation of rehab facilities in general across the U.S. is inadequate. And federally, we've just found a handful of cases where the Department of Labor found violations in rehabs over the past couple decades.
Laura Starcheski is a senior radio editor for Reveal. This reporting is from American Rehab, a new podcast serial from Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting in partnership with PRX. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much for your time.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.